Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 71, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. But before I continue, for those of you who tried to join last week, we apologize as we had technical difficulties connecting with our studio, but praise God, all things are flowing and full force ahead this morning. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to welcome you and invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening live, know that you're with us. I have my cup of coffee. Make sure to have your Bible and have a pen and paper ready to engage with today's discussion. Before we get started, Rabbi, I'd like to pass the baton to you to open us up with a word of prayer to just change the atmosphere, get us started, and we'll continue with our before Torah study blessing with Pastor Doug after that. So, Rabbi, I'll pass it to you.
Amen. Father, for right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you, Father, for the resolve that you've given us and the strength that you've given us. And it's not our own strength. It's not our own might. It's your strength by way of your spirit. So we desire more of you by getting more of your spirit, more of the obedience to fulfill what your will is for us today. We desire to hear, to know, to understand, and to obey. That is our desire, Father. And in doing so, we cleanse our hands and our hearts by asking forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression that we've done, and forgiving those who have done it to us and our families as well. Father, we thank and praise you for your forgiveness, your blessing of washing goes all the way to the third and fourth generation of our forefathers as well on both sides of our family. And we thank you for that. We apply that to allow the thousand generations blessing to just kind of go right on through over us, run roughshod over us, and into our next generation lineage, Father. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name, how excellent is your anointing, how excellent is your word. Give us your word today so that we can break every yoke and destroy every fiery dart of the enemy, so that we can walk with your purpose and always succeed because we submit to you. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. I will pass it right
Hallelujah.
Back to you.
Thank you.
Pastor Andre.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Well, at this time we'll have our before Torah study blessing. As we just engage with the word, we want to give God thanks and all times bless him. In Yahushua's name.
Ruach Ata Yahuwah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu B'Mitzvotav Itzanu La'asot B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. Well, for those of you who've been joining with us, in last episode 70, we discussed Yah's training of us through trials. And a lot of times when trials are brought up, that's not what we are looking for. And it's not that it is God's perfect will, but there are things that are necessary to help develop us and to train us. And he's always has a window of escape when we go through various trials. So it's a monitor training at times. But we need to be strengthened up and built up as an overcomer. That is the long-term, in-game goal for us when we go through trials. We started off with James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, to know how we are strengthened. It says, we are built up through tests, trials, and temptations. Now, if Yahushua was built up that way, then we also need to be built up in the same way. If you remember in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, especially, Yeshua went headlong into the wilderness to be promoted. When he was at his lowest point, the point where he was most hungry, the point when he was the most weak, that is when he was brought to the enemy for testing. Or rather, the enemy was looking for an opportune time to test him. But the Holy Spirit, we have to be reminded of that, the Holy Spirit is who led him into the wilderness. So that interaction, that skirmish, if you will, was almost orchestrated in order for his promotion. Now, the fruit of the Spirit We've talked about this last summer and engaged and throughout the rest of the sessions. We've engaged with this topic of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, they're grown and strengthened and cultivated through and in tests, trials, and tribulations. It proves us from the well-pleasing to perfect process. And that's referring to when the Father is talking about his good, well-pleasing, a perfect will. We are desiring to become perfected, to be perfect as he is perfect, or to be holy as he is holy. And that's the process, that's the sanctification process, that is the proving process. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord gave the mandate to Yahushua, and Satan, Hasatan, the adversary, immediately began to attack it. And so anytime we have a mandate and a call in our lives, Hasatan, Satan, is immediately trying to subvert that and to attack it. And so we are all in a process of growth. We're all in a process of our spiritual and natural production. Now, one of the examples we gave, just to illustrate this even more, and I love this, Rabbi, we're talking about how plants produce their own fruit with natural chemicals. And those chemicals, the things inside of the nutrients inside of the fruit, they are greater and strengthened when they agitation or opposition. The elements like insects or the weather, the heat, drought, those things condition or often will stress the plant, and the plant will have to then bolster itself. And in doing so, it produces more nutrients in the process. And then there's a greater nutritional benefit. And it reminds us that these be joyous, overcoming times. When we go through trials and when we go through perilous times, we have to understand and know that the end goal is better fruit. Now, we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and we have to understand that crucifying the flesh is a part of this process. In crucifying the flesh, we empty ourselves so that Yah can be strong in us. We have to make way for his power in us by removing ourself. This is what happened at the Garden of Gethsemane. Yahushua was getting rid of his will, his desire, his flesh. Not my will, but your will. So he was literally having a will upgrade, taking out his will and putting in a superpower charged will. Not my will, but your will. So our strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and complete. This is going to verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. His will, his strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and complete. And they show themselves most effective in our weaknesses. Now, this was from the Amplified. I'm going to read that again. And this is the Lord speaking. For my strength and power are made perfect, i.e., fulfilled and completed. And they show themselves most effective in your weakness. Verse 10. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful, and divine strength. That's a mouthful. But Paul got to the place where his understanding, and this is where we're all aiming to get to, where our understanding realizes that in order for the power of God to truly be most effective in us, we have to empty ourselves. Words don't validate. Action validates our love for Yah. I'm going to say that again. Words do not validate. Actions validate our love for Yah. The word of God must abide in us. Then we can speak the word. It has to be an overflow. And lastly, this is the main point of all of this being strengthened. It was the purpose to be overcomers. We have to be overcomers. God is calling us to have victory for the greatest amount of peace and joy to come on the bride. Romans 12, verse 21. Actions approved by God. We have to go back and look at that, Romans 12, 21. But our note for that was that we have to have actions approved by God to overcome evil. We have to go through something, persecution, the attacks, in order for us to be purged and cleansed. And that is the qualifying round. If we know what we are expecting, it makes the trial easier and the promise sweeter. If we know what's coming, we know how to prepare for it, just like we say in our intro. To understand the sign of the times, but more importantly, to know how to respond to them. Our expectation, our experience will be different. And it makes the promise sweeter, knowing that this hardship or this momentary, as as Paul says, momentary light affliction. Now, he's looking at the grand scale because it doesn't feel light. But he's saying this pales in comparison to the great promise of, and the sweetness of what's to come. We have to know that we are truly loved by Yah and that what he allows us to go through is for our good. We have to have something other than, quote-unquote, the Christian feeling about things. We have to apply Hebraic action. And those are parts of our strengthening and our growth so that we can become overcomers by doing what is approved by God in this time. That was a mouthful, Rabbi, but I want to pass it back to you.
Amen and amen. And that's a mouthful that we have to live, too, I'll tell you. It's one thing to minister. It's one thing to be ministered to. It's another thing to live through. And I'm going to give the punchline scripture before the end, which normally we give it at the end. We'll give a thought to carry you through scripture, but I'm going to give that first, and then we'll build upon that. And that's Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Because we've talked about overcomers, and we've talked about being an overcomer. But this is the recipe for us for being an overcomer. This is the end result of what the Father is wanting of us in order to achieve the level of overcomer. That's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And we're going to go ahead and read that in the King James and in the Amplified.
All righty. King James. And they, and this is talking about the saints here, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And in Amplified. And they, of course, that again is the saints, they have overcome, conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing.
Now, when you read that, if you look at that, you begin, the first two are quite obvious. Because the faith that we use and the belief that we have in that faith that we use in the blood of Jesus, which is our is a part of what makes our testimony valid, that's something that we do every day pretty much, or at least we're aware of every day. But that last element of loving not our lives, and it's not so much our own individual life, it's loving the world and allowing the world to be a part of our life. When Yeshua said, cannot do anything to him because there's nothing of this world in me that Satan can have hold of. This is the process of us all being an overcomer. We have to all get to this place, to where regardless of the successes or the failures of this world and of this life, none of it has lodged inside of you and I to cause us to be enticed, to fall in lust with anything that would cause us to compromise our relationship with Yah. That's the recipe, the formula, the proper description of an overcomer. So as we were talking about that and begin to finish up talking about being an overcomer, understand that if it comes to your life, if it comes to my life, that nothing in this world has changed my spiritual lifestyle. Nothing this world has caused me to want more to be a disciple of Yah and of Yeshua. Because remember, Yeshua has a high price for the definition of disciple. If you love anything or anyone more than him, then you are disqualified from being a disciple. Now, when he gives a definition and description of a disciple, he's actually talking about a bride. I want to make sure that's very clear. He's talking about a bride, his bride. So there's a very high bar for the qualifications of his disciple, his bride, the one that he's going to build a house for, the one that he's going to commit himself, commit his father, commit all that he has and all that he's inherited. We need to understand that going forward. Yeshua talks about a builder counting the cost before he builds, or if he doesn't, then he is shamefully embarrassed because he doesn't have enough to be fulfilled. And it all falls into ruin. So he's giving you and I an opportunity to really realize it's not just a crucifixion daily. It's a crucifixion permanently. Meaning, our old man was never designed to be a part of the new world. In this world, there's a new world order. There's a great reset. But it pales in comparison to the greatest reset, or the God world order that is on its way. And with that, we must understand that when we take on immortality, that immortality has to have nothing remotely similar to the flesh and the fleshly desires of this world. Because even this world will be renewed. So as we begin to launch forward, we need to make sure that we understand the cost. And the cost is simple. The cost is everything. The cost is all of me. It's all of you. And when we get that straight, and we understand that, and the bar is set, and we understand where the bar is and how to achieve it. Although the rest may be painful, it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. The old must die, must stay dead, and the new must be revived. And the new must live forever with him. That's what it boils down to. So we talked, Pastor Andre, about segueing into a discussion about this fourth beast that Daniel saw. The fourth beast that also, I believe, is emerging even now. Talked about also in Revelation chapter 13, I believe. That fourth beast that is going to be used by the Antichrist. It's the fourth beast that is going to cause him to have his greatest victory that he will ever receive on planet Earth against the saints. And we'll start with Daniel chapter 7. And go ahead and start with verse 21, and we'll do 21 all the way up to 25. Both in the King James and the Amplified, and then we'll discuss that first before we go any further.
That sounds great. Daniel chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, in the King James first. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now for the Amplified, starting with verse 21. Again, Daniel chapter 7, verse 21 through 25 in the Amplified. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus the angel said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, tread it down, break it in pieces, and crush it. And as for the ten horns, out of this kingdom ten kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the former ones, and he shall subdue and put down three kings. And he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the time of sacred feasts and holy days, and the law. And the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, two times, and a half a time, 3.5 years.
Now, I like how clear the Amplified makes that, and how succinct it makes it, especially in verse 25. And I'll go ahead and allow you to kind of share your thoughts on that and as we discuss it. Go ahead.
Sure. And thank you, Rabbi. This has been on my mind for a while. Rabbi had shared this not long ago with a group of us. But what captivated me and what captured me was how relevant and real this felt for right now, as we're seeing not just sections of the world, but the whole world going through this whole transformation process right now. So even starting in verse 23, where it talks about how this kingdom is different than the other kingdoms because it will devour the whole earth. When you think about all the kingdoms that happened, especially the main four that this is talking about, they only took large portions of what they understood the world to be. But this one is talking about the whole earth. And honestly, the rest of verse 23, it feels like what we're going through now. It feels like they're really trying to tread down the national sovereignty of nations. They're trying to break the will of the people. They're trying to crush independence and economic independence as well. And I just feel like we're feeling this. So with verse 24 and 25, I feel like this is the Lord giving us through Daniel a picture of what we're to be holding up to see if these things be true and what's happening. As far as now we're knowing that we have to identify, 10 kingdoms and looking to see one particular one rise up and come against the others. But when it gets down to 25, Rabbi, as you mentioned, the clarity of how he will be in opposition to the ways and the things of Yah. It talks about the sacred feasts and the holy days, which we're about to enter into as we the seventh month, as a new moon comes, the seventh month, which is the time the feast is coming upon us. So every time we go through this cycle, we're getting vivid pictures of this is something that this world will come in opposition with. Everything that deals with God's ways and his way of doing things will be tested by the world system and by this fourth kingdom especially. So it just makes everything feel very alive, especially as we're coming into feast time within the next week or so. Rabbi.
Amen. I totally concur with that. And I pray that everyone sees it because it says the fourth beast, one of the clarifications that really allows us to know that we are embarking and stepping into the control and authority of this fourth beast, it says that this fourth beast will have control of the whole world. So that means the things that happen, the edicts, the executive orders, if you will affect not just a region of people, going to affect the whole entire world. Well, we're seeing that happen even to this day. We're seeing it change. The whole economic landscape has totally changed. The way in which we would live our lives has changed. So we're already on the cusp, if you will, of all of this happening and manifesting. So now let's go to Revelation chapter 13. It is so clear, but we need to continue to see this so that we can prepare ourselves for it. Because the control of the buying and selling, having some kind of electronic device, either in our forehead or in our right hand, all of these things, they're at our doorstep and they're knocking quite forcibly the door down, whether you open it or not. Revelation chapter 13 says.
All right. Let's start with verse 1 in the King James Version. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Wow. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now for the Amplified. As I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns, he had 10 royal crowns, diadems, and blasphemous titles, names on his heads. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him the dragon gave his own might and power, and his own throne and great dominion. And one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration. They fell down and paid homage to the dragon, because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. They also praised and worshiped the beast, exclaiming, "Who is a match for the beast, and who can make war against him?" And the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words, and he was given freedom to exert his authority and to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name and his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven. He was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay homage, even those whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world. If anyone is able to hear, let him listen. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword he must be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. Then I saw another beast rising up out of the land itself. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke, roared like a dragon. He exerts all the power and right of control of the former beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and to worship him. He performs great signs, startling miracles, and even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. And because of the signs, miracles, which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, he deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue, image, in the likeness of the beast who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. And he is permitted also to impart the breath of life into the beast's image, so that the statue of the beast should actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. And also, he compels all alike, both great and small, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription, stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have the power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is room for discernment, a call for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. His number is 666.
Wow. And you said wow, and I know I have a good idea of why, but I'd like for you to kind of clarify that wow as we go and dive into this.
Okay. I got to verse 16, and it was very interesting how it described both great and small and rich and poor. It was literally talking about everyone. And we've known this, but I guess I'm seeing it as we experience different things in this world right now, where the goal is, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. This is a mandate across every spectrum of life, every head as possible. And this is the same, essentially, mandate now that they're pushing forward with making sure that everyone is vaccinated. Now, I think there's a distinction here because obviously this beast has to be present, and it has to be a number and a name. It has to be in a certain place. But the efforts are very similar in the goals to get every human, man, woman, child, rich or poor, vaccinated, or in this case, marked here. So that's what the wow was. It was a very, I was having one of those moments where what I'm seeing with my own eyes in this world is leaping out of the page. That's where my wow came.
And I totally concur with that, because just the fact that they have a computer chip that they're announcing to put on the forehead and on the right hand to indicate whether or not you have COVID. And when you begin to look at all these components coming together, you if you are a student of eschatology, if you are a student of the book Revelation, if you have read these passages, then you know that we are dangerously close. Mm-hmm. You know that the 10 kings are 10 high-ranking officials of the 10 regions of the world, that the world's going to be, that one world government's going to be set up with 10 regions, and those 10 regions, you're going to have 10 kings, and then out of that, the authority piece with the seven crowns is going to come from that. And when you begin to look at all of this and know that they already have this manuscript, it just hasn't materialized, but it's materializing as we speak. We must be prepared and ready to be able to fight the good fight of faith, not the good fight of civil war and rebellion. God has not called us to do that, although there'll be many that do. We need to make sure we understand our fight is a spiritual fight. No different than Yeshua when he said that his kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world. The new world to come, the new heavens, the new earth, yet. But this is not that. So we need to make sure that we hold our strength and our health and our resolve for the true fight. That is of the utmost importance. Your thoughts on that before we go further, sir?
Yeah, you brought up the chip that is being developed by the United States government. And I think everyone's realizing that the vaccines are not effective in doing what they thought they were going to do. And so this chip, which is verifiable, we've seen documentation, whatnot, and even mainstream media has reported on it. But it detects, it's supposed to detect viruses before they cause symptoms. And that's part of the goal. But then we also are seeing how they're wanting to connect digital ID with this and also payment transactions. So it just is lining up with the narrative of what's going on. And we can see how the door, if you will, was through – "quote unquote," this virus. That was their entryway into getting into this. Or, I should rephrase that. They probably were already developing this, but the way in which they could reveal it was through the narrative of viral control. So, Rabbi, amen. I concur. That was in the background of all of the wow. But it was just we're seeing these components. Most people look at it and they just see a few trees, but we're looking at it from and we're seeing the forest come together. And it's eye-opening and jaw-dropping at the same time, the speed and the effectiveness of which they're putting this together. So that's a little bit just of my thoughts on that.
And the beautiful thing about this horrendous thing that's happening is that our redemption has to be drawing so clear and so soon. Otherwise, the adversary would not be trying to force these things upon us so quickly. They know and understand their time is very, very, very limited. So they're trying to force their hand so that the words that Yeshua said, "Will I find any faith on the earth?" We need to understand that is their end goal, their end game. But the Father has a totally different end game. That's why that Revelation 12:11 is so important for you and for me and for us. We need to make sure we understand and realize what's at stake. We're talking our eternity and where we will spend it. This is what's at stake. Now, we have that promise that if we are the Philadelphia church, that there is a certain point. And that point is a point at which, when it gets ready to happen, he will take us. Yeshua will come back for his bride. We need to keep ourselves. We need to make sure that we're washing our garments. If we've done all the requirements, and that we are preparing our hearts and our minds not for this world, but for the eternity world that God has promised for us. Even the things that the New World Order is doing here on earth is not new. It's not, this Great Reset is not a new concept. It's a counterfeit from God's reset.
Mm-hmm.
So if we understand that, then we also understand that this is not it. This is not the end all, the solve all. But what God has is, and his is an eternity, with the greatest shalom and peace that you and I have ever experienced and will ever experience. Even greater than the peace that is coming with the 1,000-year reign, the millennial period, as some would call it. Even greater than that. And we need to understand that these were the things that the early modern saints of Paul's day were encouraged. It was the reason why they could be fed to the lions and never whimper. This is the reason why Stephen could not feel any pain when he was being stoned to death. It's because Yeshua came to his rescue. Now we may think, well, you know, he died. But during it, Yeshua was there, just like he was with the three Hebrew boys. And Yeshua is with us as well. That is something that we must understand. Part of the seal that are open is the fifth seal, and the fifth seal deals with martyrdom. And martyrdom is laid out for some of us, not all of us, but some of us. So we must be encouraged in knowing that even in the martyrdom, like Stephen was martyred, Yeshua was there, and the pain, my belief, was dissolved by the presence of Yeshua. Otherwise, Stephen would have cried out. But there's no indication that he ever cried out. Even though they were gnawing at him and biting on him, there's no indication that he cried out. That's something that we need to take to heart. We need to understand and we need to know. That is our spiritual husband, Yeshua, who is opening the seals, who is causing for his bride to be matured, and who also knows by and in, within the sixth seal, his bride should be ready. She should have made herself ready. I think it's Revelation chapter 19. 7-9, we've read that before, but it's worth repeating, where it talks about the bride making herself ready, both in the King James and the Amplified, if you would. That's Revelation chapter 19, around 7 to about verse 9.
Amen. It says this, "Let us rejoice and be glad." Well, I read that backwards. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Now for the Amplified. "Let us rejoice and shout for joy, exulting and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb at last has come, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been permitted to dress in fine, radiant linen, dazzling and white. For the fine linen is, signifies, represents the righteousness, the upright, just and godly living deeds and conduct, and right standing with God of the saints, God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, Write this down. Blessed, happy, to be envied are those who are summoned, invited, called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me further, These are the true words, the genuine and exact declarations of God."
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's where our joy should be. That's where our excitement should be. That's where our emphasis should be while we're living here on this earth. That's where it should be. Your thoughts on that, Pastor?
That is our thoughts, and this goes back to what we described weeks ago about hope. And this is part of the thing that we need to train ourselves for, is to get our excitement and our joy for the hope of the things that are to come. Because we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's that going back to the whole cycle of building our faith because of the hope and rejoicing. And so we have to go through a rewiring, if you will, to get excited about the hope, to be rejoicing about the hope, to be rejoicing when we see ourselves being transformed. And that goes back to the verse we described a few weeks ago, Rabbi, where it says, "Count it all joy when you go through these trials, knowing that it is producing the quality of character and fruit and the things that you're desiring." So that's all the more part of this whole recipe here. We need to be excited and hope for the things that are to come, especially seeing ourselves transformed and being prepared as the bride. So every day that we get closer to being or cleaning our garments, we are to rejoice. Yes, we're doing it. We are becoming who the Scripture says we are to become. Now, that's easier said than done. So, Rabbi, as you mentioned earlier, this is about application at this point. So Pastor Andre needs to go back and make sure that he is doing this, because this is what is described as part of our overcoming recipe.
Amen. I receive that. Hallelujah. And that's a recipe that we should continue to make until the eternity comes. We should continue to place that in our memory, remind ourselves, encourage each other with these words, knowing that this is what the Father has desired and wanted for this whole time for us. That is, it just blesses my soul, because it helps me to realize. Because there are some out there I know that have thought, well, you know, we're going to go through the whole entire tribulation. We know that not to be true because of the promise that was given to the Philadelphia church in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. So we know that to not be true. But we also know it when you look at the description of Matthew chapter 24. And we can go there. Matthew chapter 24. And we read verse 29, 30, and 31. And then contrast that with Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 17. And the violent description of the earthquake and the moon and all of that takes on a totally different construct, to the point to where you can't even say that they're the same incident. And I want to go over that now so that we can get that out of our head.
Okay. And this was Matthew 24, starting around 29 through 31.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to read that first, then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 6, 12 through 17. So for the first one, verse 29 of Matthew chapter 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So Amplified. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shed its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the Son of Man shall appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and beat their breasts and lament anguish. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, in brilliancy and splendor. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect, his chosen ones, from the four winds, even from one end of the universe to the other. And we're going to cross-reference this with Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, and the rich, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now for the Amplified. When he, the Lamb, broke open the sixth seal, I looked, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun grew black as sackcloth of hair, the full disk of the moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky dropped to the earth like a fig tree shedding its unripe fruit out of season when shaken by a strong wind. And the sky rolled up like a scroll and vanished, and every mountain and island was dislodged from its place. Then the kings of the earth and their noblemen and their magnates, and their military chiefs and the wealthy and the strong and everyone, whether slave or free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on before us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the deep-seated indignation and wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath, vengeance, retribution, indignation has come. And who is able to stand before it? Rabbi, back to you.
So when you look at the two, you see immediately contrast. And I just want to point those contrasts out so that we don't get those confused and basically thinking that it's the one and the same, and it's not. When we look at the first example, the moon would not give its light, but he never says that the sun was reflecting on that light. It just so happens in this case, we see that there's a difference. In this case, Yeshua appears to all of the tribes on the whole world. He does not appear to all of the tribes in the rapture. In the rapture, the church comes, goes up to meet him in the air. So this is not the rapture. This is at the end, after the rapture, after the millennial period. That is something that we need to understand that's different. Because the whole spiritual inauguration of evil, of sin, we need to understand that and see that for ourselves. Because then we begin to see that there's two different incidences. Although they seem similar, they're not. You've got the earth moving out of its place. But in that aspect, you also have 100% surveillance of understanding of everything. But in Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal, Yeshua never reveals himself. He never reveals himself to the public. What he does, and it's not even in the sixth seal, but in the seventh, is when he comes back pertaining to Armageddon. So we need to understand, we need to see the differences so that we realize what's going to come first. And never, never confuse that with what comes after that. That's our goal. Our goal and our mission today is to fortify your faith and to ensure that your faith is definitely strong. That you definitely hold true and see the sequence so it doesn't take us off guard. Are you beginning to see some of those idiosyncrasies that are not in sync that make a difference between one event versus the other event? Pastor Andre.
I definitely see the overlap of events taking place. I think there's obviously a gap of time in between what's being described. But essentially what I hear you saying, and this is what I'm understanding as well, is that we can't be confused to when the rapture takes place versus when the second coming takes place. And so we're looking for all the different key markers to show the difference between the sixth seal and the timing there versus the wrath happening and then the second coming after that. So the very important nuances to notice between these two scriptures.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I pray that this has helped in getting individuals to understand and to know. And as you close us out, I pray that this is encouraged and will continue to encourage each and every one of us. Because we are going to go through a large portion, but not the wrath of God. That is so important to understand. And when the sixth seal is opened, we're going to see heavenly events. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed or fooled. This is when your redemption draws so nigh. This is when we should just lean in and begin to, as an eagle, when a great storm tries to come and blow him off his pedestal. He just leans in and allows the force of that to just carry him over the top of that storm. So let's, as eagles, begin to lean in as we see these days approaching, knowing that the strength of that storm is going to do nothing less than to promote us over the top Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you to close, sir.
Amen. Well, folks, I hope that you have been richly blessed and have a lot of insight from the things discussed today. I hope that you have key things that you can hold on to that become keystones or mile markers as we begin to evaluate where we are in this timeline on earth according to the timeline of the scriptures. So again, I hope that you are able to benefit from our study today. And I want to thank you for joining us today, listening to These Be Perilous Times. We are glad that for those of you who are listening, that have taken time to engage in this study and to prepare yourselves. This is a part, I believe we play a part in helping to prepare individuals for these latter days. And so we're blessed by those who take heed. Even as the scripture says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear and let them understand. We encourage you to go back and study these things, to go back and look at these points as Bereans and see if they are true. If you find something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, come, let us know. We'll be happy to align with what the Word of God is. But especially when you find the things that are true, we are asking that you sell the truth not. Hold on to that, but more importantly, apply it. And we ask that you also do the same with anything you've heard before, to test it, to study it, and hold other speakers and other teachings up to the Word in the same manner. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or like to receive our weekly newsletter, or simply desire to leave an encouraging word for us, you can email us at office@bethhashem.org. To find out more about us, visit our website, www.bethhashem.org. And that's BethHashem.org. We can also at this time be found on Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries, all one word, lowercase, Beth Hashem Ministries. Now, if you'd like a deeper understanding of even the things that we've discussed here, because we have a whole course going over the revelation of Jesus Christ and also going over other components of the end time discussion, we have this and more at our college, the Cal University of Learning, and we offer courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies. You can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. Also, if you'd like to make a donation and contribute to this ministry, you can do so via Cash App. We have an account there which allows individuals to donate straight from their mobile phone or device. And it's tax deductible, and also it provides a way for us to operate without having to pay excessive fees. So you can visit www.cash.app/$BethHashem, and you are free to make a donation in that manner. At this time, we'll close with our after Torah study blessing, followed by our Aaronic benediction, a prayer to sign this off, and then also we'll have a closing prayer with Rabbi John. So at this time, our after Torah study blessing with Pastor Doug.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Natan Manu Toret Emet, Vachaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Aryah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Te bendiga, Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And at this time, I'll recite the Hebrew blessing coming from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 25. And it's a blessing that Yah desired for his people to have, for his name to be upon them, and for him to go before them, scatter their enemies. Yivarechecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yehuah panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Yehuah panavelecha ve'asem lecha shalom. May Yehuah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen and amen. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your ability. We thank you for shaking everything in us that needs to be shaken so that only your pure faith, your pure truth, your pure way of doing what you called for us to do in these last days will be the only thing that stands, will be the only thing that we can stand on. It will be the only support that we will have. Thank you for resetting and ensuring that we are not caught up in the things of this world. We glorify you. We glorify your name. We glorify your purpose and your plans. Let them be established as you said they will, because your word never comes back to your void. So we submit to the anointing of your will, Father. Hallelujah. I'm reminded that he always keeps his promises. And even as I was praying, he wants me to remind you to always be encouraged and know that his promises are yes and amen, and they will come to pass. So we receive that. Not just today, but we receive that every day. We're encouraged every day, knowing that his will be done. And we bless your name, Father. And until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.